This is Nadeem Ul Haq with Soch Bichar, welcoming you to discuss development and economic policy, especially with reference to Pakistan. Imran Khan has talked about building 5 million houses and providing 10 million jobs. I think it's time we took that issue up and started discussing it more seriously. It is a good target, definitely a very good target, and definitely something that we should be pursuing. Today I've got with me a young man who has done a considerable amount of work. He's headed up the Business Recorder Research Group and is a well-known economist in Pakistan, Ali Khizr. Let me welcome you, Ali Khizr.
Thank you, Nadeem.
Ali, can you briefly begin by just telling people about yourself a little? You're the ghost behind Business Recorder, but you should now come out and tell us.
I've been into this economic analysis and commentary for the past 10 years and being in the analysis of capital market economy for about 15 years. Prior to that, I've done engineering. So my first degree is engineering, where I learned the analytical skills. Then I moved to economics. And for the past 15 years, so I'm looking into Pakistan economics and seeing different kind of issues.
Great. So Ali, tell me, what's your take on 5 million houses? Can we make them or can we not?
The claim is a bit tall. I would say that the total of 4.9 million...
But we can allow politicians some
So
exaggeration.
Okay. Exaggeration. Mm-hmm. So if we see that in the spirit, it's a right thing to do. I mean, the housing as a political slogan mm-hmm. was first started by Zulfikar Ali Bhutto mm-hmm. in late 60s and 70s. Mm-hmm. His slogan of roti, kapra and makan. Mm-hmm. So makan was the thing. Then this issue was picked up by subsequent governments in between... Mm-hmm. A bit good effort was done by Janejo at the time of Zia, and but again his effort of housing was not really got some traction, and it couldn't get the scale. Then in the past two successive governments, PPP as Yusuf Raza Gilani, he announced a scheme, and then Nawaz Sharif, he was interested in a scheme as well. And then there was one housing society here or there, but nothing much. Mm. In between, the backlog of housing that is being increasing, Pakistan, the construction of housing is not increasing as you see the number of households are growing. Pakistan is one of the fastest growing population in the world. And right now, the estimated gap of housing is about 9 to 10 million in Pakistan.
Let me stop you there for a minute. Where did we get that figure from? I know it's floating around, but where did this figure come from?
Now that's what I'm coming to. Mm-hmm. Actually, on average, there are like 4.3 people live in a room in Pakistan. Mm-hmm. If you have a one-room bedroom, they're like on mm-hmm. average 4.3. Mm-hmm. If you go to the developed world, the average is about 1.1. So if you bridge in the gap, you come up there with a number of this. So there are about 30 odd million of your households.
We've got 30 million households. You're saying average.
And we have about 4.9 million of pakka houses mm-hmm. and a similar number of the houses which are which you can categorize Islam with not all the basic amenities.
So you're saying there are 10 million houses. The housing stock is 10 million houses.
Roughly speaking.
But then we should have a 20 million shortage because each family deserves a house. So if there are 30 million families, then there's a 20 million shortage.
So we can argue on that the shortage is 10 million or 20 million, but there's a shortage is there.
Yeah.
So let's get into that. So the 5 million number is something we require. Okay. And no other government prior to that was really convincing on that with that focus of Prime Minister, which is there. So that's applaudable.
Okay.
The first, we need to recognize the fact the housing shortage.
So there is a housing shortage,
yes.
And the slogan is okay. But like all slogans now, they've been elections. Now we got to go ahead and do the practical thing.
Now, practical thing. As we say, there are about 4.9 million pakka houses in Pakistan. In the history of 71 years or so, we have constructed about 5 million houses. So it's hard to believe that we can double that in 5 years.
Okay.
So if I would say Imran Khan and his team in the Naya Pakistan Housing Authority, if they make about 1 to 2 million houses in 5 years,
they can declare victory.
I could say that they would change the landscape.
So they have declared victory if they can do that. Great.
Exactly.
So now, let's get realistic. Can you tell me the program that you have in mind for building 1 million? Forget 5 million. 1 million houses, let's say.
Okay. Now, first they need to do what they need to do. With mm-hmm. They need to do is they need to see that is the government is going to do into the business of housing or not. The government is not going to inject any form of cash in it. Mm-hmm. So government is cash trapped. We all mm-hmm. know that.
Yeah.
So it's not coming up with that. So it will come by in the public-private partnership mode.
Mm-hmm.
So government has the land bank. So according to sources that 40-50% of Pakistan land is owned by state. By state means any form of government. And mostly it's by provincial governments. And with two provinces, the PTI has direct government. And then third, they have a coalition. So the problem left is only in the fourth province. When the work is going on the three provinces, the fourth province probably would be compelled to do that. So I don't see that problem that state is the federal government is not owning land. If the provincial government is owning land, it's fine. So
let me ask you a question there. I think every government owns a large part of the public land. In the US, if I look at it, there are national parks and there's all kinds of public land that the government owns. The question is, we are very, very generous with public land. We like to distribute it to, for example, generals, to civil servants, to landlords, to everybody. Public land is a finite resource. It is not an infinite resource that we can keep giving it away.
Indeed.
Secondly, the second point which is very important about public land is that it is also held in intergenerational trust. Our children's children and their children also need some land to work with.
Indeed.
If we use it all for our generation,
indeed,
what will our children's children do?
So is there going to be a methodology to work upon that? I heard that the World Bank has done that in many other countries.
Oops.
I know that they're probably going to do something.
So once again, you're relying on the World Bank. We are a 220 million country, fifth largest country in the world. And all our thinking is done by the World Bank?
Let's see that.
We won't get into that. We'll leave it for the next podcast. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So now what we do is that we create land banks based on all those factors, how much government owned land, how much you need for the housing, how much you need for the other public amenities, how much you need for the future generation and all that. Then you create that all over the Pakistan. So the plan is to have 40% of houses in rural areas, 20% in peri-urban areas, and 40% in urban areas. As long as the 60% of peri-urban and rural areas are concerned, there's an abundance of land, the price of the land is low, all you need to get the construction over there, and then you need to find out the demand over there.
I'm a little puzzled.
Yeah.
40% houses are going to be built in rural areas.
Yeah.
What are people going to be doing there?
The people people are already living over there. They're doing whatever the economic activities, farm and non-farm are there, but their living standards are not up to the mark.
But my question is this, that the way I look at development and long history of development, all the way from British industrialization to European to the US or even to our thing. If I remember right, in fact, there's a famous paper, Harris Todaro, which talks about development basically being a process of migration from the rural areas to the urban areas.
Indeed.
And what they say is that countries really develop and they become urbanized.
Indeed.
So truly, we should be looking for more urbanization rather than keeping people in the rural areas.
So you see, if I see this housing scheme in a perspective, I'm not much interested in what government is going to make by herself. I'm much interested in that what kind of enabling environment government would bring, what kind of construction technology techniques and designing techniques would come into that, how much efficiencies you gain in the supply and the demand side from the financing and from the material side, said that it increases the supply of the private sector. And there the bulk is. So if the government is planning to make 5 million houses, let's not get into the number. If whatever the number they make, they not make any house whose price is more than 2.5 million rupees, inclusive the price of the...
So I've got another problem now.
Inclusive the price of the land.
But I've got another problem there.
Yeah.
You know, I'm an economist.
Yeah.
You, mashallah, are now an economist too. First lesson in economics is government can't fix prices. So do you think this is feasible that the government will fix the price?
No, government can't fix the prices. In this case, probably for the low-cost housing, where there's a regulated part, government has to do something on that. Okay. In case of India, they've done that. They've created the market of the whole point is that you need to create a market of low cost housing for the builders. Right now, builders are only interested in the posh area.
But hang on, there are two problems here. First, you say the government must give public land.
Indeed.
Second, you say the government must fix the price. Then you say enabling environment. I mean, those three things don't work together.
I'm saying that enabling environment, number one, to have the low cost housing, the land has to be provided by government, and C, the price fixing. The price fixing is not that they'll make the price of 2.5 million. The government will construct those houses where the construction cost would be somewhere around 1.5 million or something. They have a land price of 1 million over that because it's, you know, for low cost area, or it's cross subsidized within the society by commercial plots over there. So they'll have that for that. But for the rest of the development, which is going to be done by the private sector, which is going to be a bigger number in terms of the value addition, not in terms of the number of houses. There will be construction of the commercial areas. There will be construction of the bigger houses and all that, and luxury flats and all that. So that way the enabling environment would come into play. So let me try to explain what the plan the government should follow, what I have in mind.
Okay, go ahead.
So it is like the government would provide land, chunks of land, where they'll ask the builders to construct to build a housing society where 30-40% houses would be for the low cost. There's some by rest would be the plots or houses what the builder would like to construct and would sell at market prices. For that 30-40%, where the prices are, where the government would ensure that the people who come there, they live there for 5 years, and they would ensure to create a mortgage market for that, and they have a process for that. The rest is because that land is going to be developed, that land is going to be habitats over there. The rest would have a tendency to develop and get populated quickly. And once now we have a supply, which is limited supply. Once you have more supply, as you see in Dubai, if there's an oversupply of flats, the prices go down. So the prices would come down of land. And in case of the construction, you need to bring efficiencies. You know, the cement price in Pakistan is about 600-650 rupees per bag. And the same cement that is manufactured in Pakistan is sold in Afghanistan at about 400 rupees per bag. So if you are in Afghanistan, you consume a cement produced by Pakistan at 400-450 rupees. And if you are in Pakistan, you use the cement produced in Pakistan at 650.
But Ali, what you've given me is the government scheme, or is it different from the government? How did your scheme differ from the government scheme?
The government has formed 17-member task force. They'll make some plans. There are people from the private sector, there are people from the government, there are people from banks, and they'll form. And I have spoken to
a few people. So is this a good idea? Is this a good idea that the builders and the banks who are going to be involved in the scheme are making the scheme? Is there no conflict of interest?
There are always a conflict of interest here, but you see, when you're sitting in Pakistan and when you have to do things like coming from nothing, you have to be innovative. You have to be innovative when you're working on the public-private partnership model. So the private sector is on the stake as well, the public sector is on the stake as well. So you have to form...
But Ali, this sounds very much like a previous public-private partnership model that we have, which is the auto industry, where we had a public-private partnership that was built 50 years ago, and that relationship still exists. There's no automobile market, and we're all paying top dollar for substandard cars.
Again, that's the rent-seeking what I was talking about in the cement, where the cartel exists, and here you have the protection. If the government is not being able to play it right, and if they'll form another form of cartel or rent-seeker in the market, this would fail. But on paper, this is the need India has then done in the 10 years. So the need is to develop the market for private builders to build low-cost housing. So one thing is that government would provide that and the land cost, and you can work out on the cost.
Let me stop for a minute. Let me ask you a simple question. Currently, the housing shortage, as you yourself said, is 10 million. And we did a small calculation, not very good, but nevertheless, it could be 20 million. So there's a huge housing shortage. And I think the gap really does not exist so much in the lower class. The gap exists in the middle class.
Every class.
Right? Every class. But the middle class especially right now is the first class that will have a demand, a huge demand, because they've got the money, they've got the capacity to pay, they can get it. Right? So really that class is not going to be.
Okay. For middle class, let's come to the market class. Yeah. So that's the catch is where the enabling environment would come into play.
Okay.
So where people like me and you and the breeders of our, they probably come in and all that. So affordability of housing is a very important factor. How you define affordability? Like if you be able, like if your mortgage payment is about 30% of the household income, that's affordable in US. And similar numbers, 25 to 30%, you say pretty much the affordability everywhere.
Yeah.
So let's see if you have a mortgage market and where you can get a house and live over there where you pay 30% of your income, you'll find many people having their own income.
Okay.
Now, the question is that A, the prices are high right now because the supply is short. Whatever the supply is in the market, the prices are high. The construction techniques and the construction input materials, there are inefficiencies in that. So these prices can come down to 30% around that. The land prices could come around 30% or more even on that if you have an oversupply of land. So the overall, the prices of a house from existing level can come down to 30-40%.
Yeah, but let's look at this. If you're saying that if mortgages are involved.
Now, second, and now that's one thing, but that can enhance a bit of, affordability in cash. Right now, only about 2,500 to 3,000 houses are being mortgaged in Pakistan per year. Total mortgage houses in Pakistan are about 60,000. And there are about 250 to 300,000 houses that are being
constructed. I think there are far more houses that are mortgaged than should be.
Okay.
Tell me one thing very simple.
So, I tell you.
Ali, let me ask you. Would you buy a mortgage in Pakistan? Have you bought a house on mortgage?
No.
Why not?
I live on a rental.
No, why aren't you buying a house?
I'll give you an example. I pay a rent. Which is if it is at X amount, if I get the same house on mortgage, my monthly payment would be 3 to 4x. So you see,
there is there's an income and value ratio.
Yeah,
that'll work.
Yeah,
right now, for example, very simple. Let's look at it. Average house in DHA, even a 5-marla house, small house, the townhouse, simple. Is something like 2 crore rupees, maybe even more.
No. It's less than 5 million house is about 1 crore rupees. Let's say it's less than that. Yeah. Okay. Let's.
Well, but I've heard. I don't want to quibble with you on prices. But let's say if it's one crore even, right? 1 crore means that if you take a mortgage, let's say when you put 10% down, which is 10 lakh rupees, the loan value that you will support is 90 lakh rupees. Right? If you support 90 lakh rupees, the current rate of mortgage is about 10, 12, 13, 14%.
Yeah.
Right? So if it's 13-14%, you've got 90 lakhs, you will virtually be paying something like 12 lakh rupees per year.
Yeah, right? That's 100,000.
So
something.
That's 100,000 a month.
That
means that you must have an income of 3 to 4 lakh rupees
to do that.
Right?
The same.
If that's the case, you're talking about real upper class. Sorry, upper middle class. You're not talking about lower class or.
And that upper middle class lives in, if they live in a rental house, if they're paying 100,000, they're getting a much better house.
Much better house.
So,
but that's always the case.
There are two things. If the prices would come down, let's see, the guy who's living in a 2.5 crore place where he's paying about a rent of 120,000, but the mortgage of that place is somewhere around 300,000.
Right.
If the mortgage can come down to 200,000, he can jump up it as well.
Okay.
Or 150,000.
Now tell me, how will you get the mortgage down?
Okay, now, the one thing, if you get these enabling environment, if you get these construction to going on, overall the construction prices
There's another problem. You're saying public land. Now, public land will be way outside Lahore. Right.
Yeah,
let's talk about Lahore. How will it happen in Lahore?
That's what exactly I said earlier, that 40% rural, 20% peri-urban.
Yeah, right.
That's what the majority of the public get. That's the challenges in the Lahore, where probably I would see more of the private sector involvement in that.
How?
And then you have to change the zoning laws in Lahore.
Okay.
You know what the zoning laws in Lahore? They have a very low density over there, and that usually in a city where the population is like what Lahore population was in 1950s or 60s, the zoning law suits that. Mm. Today, zoning laws are like you have high-rise buildings.
What do you mean by zoning laws?
Zoning laws is like how much floors you can have. Like it's like how much construction you can have in certain amount of land.
You're saying how high you can build, basically.
Yeah.
In simple terms, whether you can go up or not.
In simple words, you can go up high or not. You can't.
But that the civil service does not allow. Let's call a spade a spade.
Why?
The civil service has banned going up for the 70 years in Pakistan.
Why? What is the reason?
I don't
know. So you have to change that.
No, hang on. Stop there right now. I've been arguing for that, as you know, for the last 30 years. I've been arguing with that hugely. They hate me for saying that. The media doesn't support me for saying that. Nobody says go high, right? So how can you do it? I mean, look, in Lahore, even today, or anywhere in Punjab, Karachi is slightly better, but anywhere in Punjab and the rest of the country, the height restrictions are that you have to have two-level thing. Mm. 38 feet is the height, right? And otherwise, in places where they give you permission through long process of commercialization, fee paying, etc., it's 100 feet, right? Now, with that kind of a stringent policy, it takes a huge amount of effort and money to build something.
Mm.
So then the prices obviously are going to go astronomically high. Mm. Then a 1,000 foot square foot flat is about 4 crore rupees, which is 40 million rupees. The issue really is, everybody tells me, and I argued that with many people, people tell me that we don't like to live in flats.
Mm.
So there's a huge culture against flats too.
Mm.
In this policy, what is the role of flats?
Exactly, that's the point. This policy would have flats in as well. And that the flats, not only that the government would construct, they have to change the zoning law. They're saying that they'll change the zoning laws, they'll have more flats in Lahore. So if you have a scarce land, you have a land which
then
you need to...
My issue is,
yes,
right? The old Huck hypothesis, very simple, which I've been yelling for the last so many years, which I put in the framework of economic growth, which I put before Gilani and everybody, and Imran. I just wrote this piece again. My friend Imran, if all he has to do is take a piece of paper and write on that, in Pakistan, all cities can go up to 50 story, whatever, X number. Go up, just say go up.
Yeah.
Sign it, notify it tomorrow, right? And tell all the cities that are under your control, you're going to do it. Period. If Karachi does, if Sindh doesn't want to do it, Karachi's already done very well. If Sindh doesn't want to do it, he has to do it.
Hmm.
Secondly, he has to pass a couple of laws. For example, common property ownership. If I own a flat, what do I own? I mean, he has to have the common property law.
Those laws.
Third thing he has to do is have the insurance law that can also, in a sense, support that. So that when I buy a property, it is secure. It is in my name. Currently, the land is in the name of the builder. If the building falls, the builder gets the land. That's kind of bizarre. So we have to change all that. Then he has to be able to change the thing that the buildings can be managed. So if there's a small amount of legal infrastructure that's required, all of which he can do very easily, and then leave it to the private sector. If he leaves it to the private sector, all the houses that we are sitting on, the 5 million houses, if the 5 million houses go up 20 floors, right?
Exactly.
We've already created
about
20 million houses.
So that's one of the plan is, and what
then why do we need public land?
We need public land for low-cost housing. The government is building only low-cost housing.
I'm sorry.
The government is building only low-cost housing with affordability.
No.
These 5 million houses for low-cost only, whatever the number the government is giving, and the rest of the whatever enabling environment, whatever the land would be unlocked, you know, that would be used for the by the private builders for private sector.
I have a friend in India, Surjit Bhalla. He writes a lot as well.
Yeah.
He has a famous saying, which is very important.
Mm.
He says, all the bad schemes in the world, all the rent seeking has happened in the name of the poor.
Yeah.
Right? I don't like this low-cost housing.
Okay.
I'll tell you very frankly. Okay. I think here all the public land will be gifted to all the Qabza Mafia people. They'll take it over and this will be a disaster.
Okay.
Secondly, I don't like mortgages in Pakistan at all. When the mortgage refinance company was formed, the State Bank has done it, I actually wrote against it and I said it should not be done. They made it very recently.
Mm.
I think it's a bad idea. At 18% interest rate, our interest is going up, so probably mortgages will be 18%.
At top, yes, it would be.
But that's a huge interest rate. You can't support mortgages on that. 18% for 20 years would be huge.
So you have to create those funds. You have to have the long-term funding at a lower rate.
I don't think housing is a funding problem. I think housing is not a funding problem, housing is a zoning problem.
So I've told you that zoning is...
But the zoning has to be the critical.
So
forget the low-cost housing.
Yeah.
Let's forget the low-cost housing. First is, let's change this thing, we have to go to flats. Right?
So zoning is a very
important thing. And flats is the most important thing. Density is the most important thing.
Agreed.
Again, with density is another problem. Very big problem. Very big problem with the density. What are you going to do with cars?
So you have to have a very efficient transport system. You have to have, in big cities, very high density.
So you're going to have all these buildings to have parking lots?
They have to have, but you can't have you can't have big buildings everywhere. You have to have big buildings in the center of the city. So center of the city, they would have parking lot, or then people would not park.
Where are we sitting? We're sitting in the center of the city?
Yeah.
So, do we want to change zoning here or not? Are we going to change this, I worked with Shabazz Sharif for a while after the planning commission. And I'll tell you now, I told him I want to do this. Exactly, zoning. That's what I want to do. He agreed with me fully. And I said, I'll do it. So I wrote this out, cut a long story short. We started talking about it. And the bureaucrats came in. The bureaucrats stopped it. Shabazz Sharif couldn't get his way. The bureaucrats won. And the bureaucrats decided that we will only allow you to go to 100 feet, which is 8 or 10 stories, in plots that are 4 canals, which is a very big plot, half an acre. Right? And also where each flat will have 2 spaces of parking. And I said, this is ridiculous. This is only benefiting the rich people, as well as kind of huge, inefficient, expensive construction. So we had a big debate. And then I walked out. I said, I don't want to do this anymore. It's a waste of time. I'm just playing around with little kids who don't understand. These are great 20 officials who didn't know anything about urban affairs, who didn't know anything. They're just talking with their priors.
Exactly. So,
what do we do?
I agree. We need to work on the zoning. We need to work on those providing the abundance of the land to lower the price of that. We need to bring the efficiencies in the construction.
No, sorry. I disagree. I've disagreed with you already. I want to put my disagreement on record.
Okay.
I think there should be no public land.
Okay.
Banks should not be involved. Second thing I'll give you, second reason I'll give you why banks should not be involved. Because banks can only lend to secure earners. Pakistan, there are very few secure earners. What sort of a contract do most people have with business, private sector? What is the contract? There's no security of job. If I'm a banker, even if somebody came to me with a very nice salary from the private sector, I'd be suspicious. How long is your job security?
I agree with you. Yeah. In the last year, banks have given about 50,000 cars on loan.
Yeah.
And out of it, at least 30,000 or something were to individuals.
Mm-hmm.
If that individual can get the car loan, that individual can get the mortgage as well from the bank. And bank has given only loans to 3,000 individuals. So that 10 times growth can come straight away from that fact. So I agree that you can't come on the big numbers on that. But we have about 0.5% of GDP in mortgage. If in 5 years, if we reach 5% of GDP on mortgage, I think it's a big success.
Again, you're right. But as we saw in the 2008 crisis, when the government came in and pushed mortgages on the banks, it created the huge crisis. I think the government should not get involved with mortgages. Let the banks decide on their own. Do their due diligence.
Banks have the biggest issue of foreclosure laws. The tenancy law is in favor of person who is living in that house. That law has that it's the parliament has changed it. The law has to be formed. It will be formed pretty soon, and then it has to be implemented. So the government is saying on paper they'll do that. If they do that, banks would jump into that. That's what I'm saying. If the foreclosure laws are there, if you have, and then the bank has the issue of the land titling.
But
if you go into the new societies and DHAs and Askaris, banks are giving mortgage. They'll give a mortgage to some new societies which would come as that, which create from that land bank, right? And with you don't have a titling issues on this.
But this
number could go up to 30,000.
No, but this is, you're thinking like the World Bank. I'm sorry. You're thinking like the World Bank.
You're thinking like an anti the World Bank.
No, absolutely. Because my point is, Ali, I agree with you entirely. Look, my problem is that these numbers look very nice and consultants said, oh, it can happen. To me, Honestly, finance is not an issue in Pakistan. Finance is not an issue in Pakistan. Quite frankly, people will spend money, people will buy things, provided we have a supply. We don't have a supply right now. People are buying plots because they're trying to park their money. The problem is we don't have a supply. I think to me, the housing is a supply issue.
You don't have a supply of plots, or you don't have a supply of houses?
We don't have a supply of flats. The only way we can supply housing is flats. When you go to city, my city is Lahore. Lahore is bigger than New York. Karachi is bigger than New York.
I tell you, it's not about just this. If you see in the defense, there's a whole phase 7 right now that's empty. The plot price is about a crore rupees or over per canal, and nobody is building over there. Why? So the plots is
what
there.
Do you mean, do you know how far it is?
No, it's not that far.
What do you mean it's not that far?
I live in phase 6.
Oh, I know.
But
from here, I was invited today, for example, to DHA for lunch.
Okay.
I thought about it twice. That's too far. I can't go. Right? I mean, look, distance matters. The whole first point in urban economics is distance matters.
But you see in New York, but you see in Chicago, you see in other urban centers, people tend to live in suburbs. They travel.
Ali, that is the problem now. I think we have a lot of evidence that shows that, yes, suburbs are important, no doubt about it. But there is a huge amount of people who live in a city. People who live in Manhattan are not small.
So I'm not saying that people won't live in city. People would live in city. In this Shadman areas where you live, on the Johor area to Gulberg area, there would be the skyline of Lahore should be here. There should be flats and everyone.
They don't allow it.
They have to.
Well, when they allow it, then we'll talk. Right now, the bureaucrats, the DMG officials, they say, and I'm telling you from personal experience, Shabazz backed me, and I talked to, and I can give you witnesses if you like. There are architect witnesses. Rana Sanaullah chaired the meeting. Shabazz was there, right? The DMG official says, no way. And they also have another thing. You can't build anywhere near this, near that, etc. And eventually, despite all this effort, they've only given 20 building permits in Gulberg. Now, that won't do anything, right? So the problem is that we have to talk about it very, very carefully. Unless they allow us height. And second thing that they talk about is, they say, we don't have the infrastructure.
Success of any new viable scheme that we need to get out of the bureaucrats. Indeed.
That, unfortunately, they're not letting happen.
So let's see how they succeed in it. The other angle of housing is that if this kicks, then it would generate employment. Mm. So it would generate employment, it would kickstart the economy, and everything. Mm.
It won't. Housing won't. Sorry.
Okay.
Agreed. I don't agree at all.
Okay.
If you build 3 madla houses, it'll do nothing for the economy.
Okay.
Right? 3 madla houses only require a certain amount. I mean, this house, what do we have in here? Couple of doors, some plaster, some little things. I mean, this house has no serious construction.
Right.
Serious construction will take place in your buildings.
Right.
Then you have to have big kind of, the architecture changes because you immediately have bigger pipes, bigger this, bigger. The infrastructure has to be much better. If you don't build buildings, we have already created a mess in Lahore. For example, Lahore now has a sprawl that goes out 50 miles. People are driving more cars here than in New York or in Chicago. And look at the mess that we've got in the sky.
So
In a couple of weeks, we will not be able to breathe here. In the city,
you have to work on flats. In peri-urban, in the rural areas.
I don't even know what peri-urban is. Now you touch my favorite topic.
Yeah.
I don't know what peri-urban and urban and rural is. First of all, I'm sorry, Ali. My view is rural areas, there's no housing. What is a rural area? Rural area, maybe this is a definition we should get right. What is the definition of a village? To me, a village is no more than 5,000 people. That's what the UN says and many people say, right? City, town grows to maybe, let's say, 50,000.
Okay.
5,000 to 50,000. After that, it's a city.
Okay.
Right? And now in Pakistan, we've got at least 100 cities that are above 100,000.
Right.
Got a huge number of cities.
Right.
Right? Now, those cities, for example, we have to talk about them. That's where the houses are going to be made. I suspect when you say rural areas, you mean small towns.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And small towns would be 50,000 to 100,000, right? Something like that. Now, if we talk about 100,000, those are cities. Let's make sure that those go up, all of them, no matter what, right? Mm. Now, up to 50,000 or something, yeah, they will also go up. They can be smaller centers or whatever. But many of them are also satellites of big cities, right? For example, take Sakhar. Now, Sakhar, Jamshoro, there's a huge pattern of satellites. Take Peshawar. I mean, you know, there's a huge clustering of things taking place. And we have to understand the economic geography. We can't say peri-urban really isn't. It's all just suburbs. Like Lahore, for example. Hey, the peri-urban is what? Bedia, DHA, etc.
So these are,
Let them be. They have nothing. Bedia has maybe, I think Bedia doesn't even have a few thousand houses. Phase 1 to 5 apparently has only 30,000 houses.
Indeed. Right? It doesn't have much.
So this is nothing.
Because they don't have flats over there.
Because they won't need to. But this area, the area of Lahore, which is, let's say, from the walled city, or the Ravi, to, let's say, the canal, and let's say to McLeod Road, Multan Road to here.
Yeah.
This square, where the bulk of the people should be living, where they're holding back development.
Indeed.
When you say 4.5, 4.1 people live in a flat, majority of them are living in servant quarters and oversized houses, etc., right?
Indeed.
And that kind of pressure will be relieved only if they allow us to go higher.
I think we both are on the same page.
Are we on the same page?
Same page.
Except one thing that we're differing on.
Yeah.
I think the government's initiative, I don't agree with. I think there should be no mortgages, no public land, and no builders. Everything should happen in the cities first. First go high, first let things happen. Then you know what supply you have.
What's your suggestion to the task force? I hope the task force people would listen to this podcast. That is that their prime focus should be to enable the environment to do the zoning.
I'll tell you what, I just wrote this. So I'll tell you what should be done. My advice to Imran, forget the task force. Task force is zero. Task force should go. It's just a tea party.
Okay.
Task force is what the bureaucrats do to write proposals that they want. They'll keep these people occupied for a while, then suddenly they'll send something to Imran. Imran will think it's a task force. It doesn't happen.
Okay.
So task force is bullshit. The bureaucrats will do what they like. Okay. Right? My advice to Imran is very simple. That he should just simply change this thing, zoning laws. Every city. He should tell everybody, direct them. I want every city over 100,000 to change the zoning law. I want high-rise construction and mixed use. No difference between commercial, this and mixed use, high-rise. And I want this to happen like yesterday. Right? And I want the enabling legislation, which is just two things. Multiple ownership, multiple insurance. Right? I want this to happen. So the ownership is clear, distinct, and I want to create a market in these flats. No more land.
Okay.
No more land. Flats.
So
Second thing, most important, which I wrote these article 20 years ago, and which is very important, and I will insist on that. So for example, the title of the articles was, and created a bit of a discussion, not much, but a bit of a discussion. The title of the articles was, Where Are the Tower Cranes? For example, it has shocked me always, and I've used it in many gatherings, many talks. Lahore has no tower cranes, hardly 4 or 5. Islamabad has no tower cranes. Peshawar has no tower cranes. Faisalabad has no tower cranes. Karachi, there are a few, but for the size of Karachi, almost negligible. Right? When you go to Dubai, look at the tower cranes. When you go to Shanghai, look at the tower cranes. When you go to London, look at the tower cranes. We are the only stupid place where the DMG allows no tower cranes. If you don't have complex building, this construction boom won't happen. Construction booms happen when you have complex building, not one house at a time. Well, a house is nothing. House has no technology, nothing. It's just four rooms thrown together. That doesn't do anything. We have to go to flats. We have to go to shopping malls. We have to go to hotels. We have to go to... There's such a hotel shortage. Islamabad, Marriott. The price is not $270. Right? So why can't we have more hotels? The last hotel stock,
again,
was built by you. Right?
Again, there's a hotel and nobody in Pakistan but Hashu Group can construct a big hotel. Why is that?
But that's because the bureaucrats.
That's why.
Bureaucrats won't let it happen. So all I'm saying
is... I tell you, the quality of the hotels are so poor. Here you get a three-star hotel where you get a five-star hotel in the same price. And
Now let me tell you the final thing.
And Thailand is an expensive place.
Now let me tell you, but Thailand, look at the flats. Everybody lives in flats. Everybody lives in flats in Thailand, in Kuala Lumpur. Everywhere in the world, people are living in flats.
But
we want to preserve a rural.
Okay. We are swaying away from that. Second thing.
This is very important. This is very important. Clarity is very important. We don't have clarity. We tend to confuse things. Clarity is, if Imran does this, then he should just say, he should not take any meetings anymore. He should just say, I'm going to, when I go to cities, I just want to see tower cranes. I want to see 20, 30 tower cranes every month. Once he sees the tower cranes, he knows things, things are happening. If he doesn't see any tower cranes, these bureaucrats will keep the whole thing down. It's a simple process. Just do a simple thing. Just say, I want tower cranes. No meetings. I want to see the tower cranes. Every time I go, I want to see tower cranes. If he does that, change will come. Otherwise, this Sarkari land and this thing, this is just tons of friend seeking will happen. You know that my friends, I know many of my friends who will take this scheme for a ride. Many of my friends will make tons of money. My friends, my Punjab club neighbors, will make tons of money out of this. They know how to shuffle the paper. They know how to get the bureaucrats involved. Somebody will get this. I'll make low cost housing. Remember the yellow cab scheme?
Oh God, that was terrible.
So how is this going to be different?
Let's hope it's different. Let's hope, sir.
Ali, any last minute thoughts?
Nothing. I think the government has to do this enabling environment. I stick to my point that the low cost housing, the government has to intervene in the start.
Okay.
But it doesn't have to construct all the 5 million houses. It may construct 1 or 1.5 million houses in 5 years, and that enabling environment, that creation of the mortgage market, where we need to develop the capital market, capital debt market, as an all well, which altogether a different discussion. You have a long term yield curve, and you don't need to have a long term yield curve which is upper sloping. It could be a downward sloping as well. Once you have a downward sloping, your rates would in the long term would be lower than your current rates. And that can happen in the country of Pakistan where the direction gets right. So once you have that thing developed, yeah, there's no insurance schemes in that, there's no retirement plans in that, there are no pension schemes in Pakistan, right? So once you have those schemes, once you have those, but there's no corporate to get the debt from the market. So once you have that long-term papers floating, then against that bank can lend to those consumers.
Now you brought in finance.
Yes.
I won't take that up. But that's a whole podcast that must be done.
Let's do that.
I think, just in conclusion with this podcast, I think quite frankly we are very confused about financial markets.
Indeed.
And we must really begin to understand. Financial markets can't be developed in the abstract. But anyway, thank you very much, Ali. This is wonderful. I think a very provocative podcast. I hope lots of students will do a thesis on ideas like this. There are too many ideas here that we can obviously do in a short podcast.
Right.
But all these ideas need discussion and
indeed,
thought. So
indeed.
Thank you.
Thank you.